Welcome to Nuanced Judaism, coming to you from OU Torah.
I'm Simi.
And I am Rivka.
Hi.
Hi, welcome back. Okay, Simi, this one's for you. I know a lot of Jews, well, people in general, but Jews in particular, often have political views, opinions about everything and everything, and especially when it comes to socialism, communism, capitalism, the free market or lack thereof, etc., etc. Now, I know you're going to also give us your take on things, but I wanted to know, are there Torah sources, first sources, that could help us navigate this space? Less about how to win a argument at the Shabbat table, more about if we go back in time, what objective information are we given from the Torah?
So it's a good question, because especially considering every denomination of Judaism is sort of often convinced that their particular political leaning is mirrored by the Torah perfectly. And also I don't want to just go the middle ground approach and say, oh, the Torah is basically balances the two. It's a bit of an easy way out. But just to sort of lay down the groundwork of how a discussion like this would take place. The question's often asked, is Judaism a capitalist vision, a free market, individual-focused vision, or is it more of a socialist, perhaps even
community-based
vision? How does it look at the ideas of property, the means of production? How does it look at our philosophy about how we're supposed to interact with our fellow man? And I think you could say there are two visions. You obviously have the capitalist side and you have the socialist, but they all come with a philosophy baked into them. But as well as that, they have a mechanism surrounding them.
Could you explain?
So a mechanism, if we take, so for example, the capitalist mechanism and the socialist mechanism, the capitalist mechanism is based off free markets. It's based off personal property rights that is protected by the law.
And thereby, if I have an idea and I work really hard and I make more money, that is rightfully mine, and you have that right and you have that ability to do that as well.
Exactly. And the socialist sort of mechanism is that, no, the top down, the government take control of personal property, and thereby they have the ability to distribute it.
Right. Which means that if I, for example, can't have an idea or work very hard, I still am taken care of, and so are you.
Exactly. Now, it seems to be that they not only have a mechanism, but they also have an ideology behind them. Now, obviously, there's going to be overlap. But, for example, an ideology central to capitalism is the individual. Now, that's important because it's the voluntary exchange of goods. And the focus on the individual as being sovereign is key and important. But there's a dark side to that as well, because if it's about the individual...
Well, what I just said before, I have an idea, I can work really hard, I can make really a lot of money, so can you. But if I can't, then I simply won't. In the most stark way of looking at capitalism, nowadays most capital countries obviously still have a safety net, they have other things in place. But without any safety net, it's simply you can't, you don't, you won't.
Correct. And with the ability to handle different ideas, there is a dark side to that. Now, a person may say it's essential, it's the only way the world might be the case, but for the purposes of our discussion, let's recognize there is a huge darkness that comes along with that, an absolute focus on the individual, and at times to the cost of the other. In contrast, you have the ideology behind socialism, which is one that is quite baked in empathy, quite baked into community, quite baked into caring for your fellow man. And so if you lay down those two ideologies, and here I'm pointing out, I'm talking about the ideology of your focus should be on the other, your care should be on the other, and from a meta-halachic standpoint, the love that you are expected to give over to the other very much mirrors this socialist ideology. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ideas that encourage us to mirror God and take care of the poor, the weak, as a religious duty.
From charity, or again, like you said, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha is ultimately, like we said before.
But also from a, like, almost a religious standpoint, when we say Shema, we commit to using our stuff, v'chol moedecha, we commit to using our means.
Use our means for the service of God, which would mean to take care of others as well.
And a massive focus on the importance of community. and your responsibility within a community.
Don't leave the community and stuff like that.
So this idea of, in a general sense, you could give the argument, and people do give the argument, with a focus on charity, a focus on your responsibilities to give to the community and your responsibility to sacrifice for the community. You can walk away with quite a socialist outlook.
Fair enough.
So that's in an ideological sense. If we now take a shift to the mechanism of the Jewish way of life, I think we find something quite different. Judaism actually has a very capitalist perspective.
So hang on. We just spoke from an idealistic standpoint. We gave a little speech bubble or a little thought bubble about what a stereotypical socialist mindset would be and capitalist mindset would be. And we looked at the ideologies behind it. And then we looked at Judaism, some of Judaism's ideologies. But now you're saying, no, let's get into the mechanics of things. Let's get into the workings of things. And that's not what we find.
Right. From a mechanistic standpoint of how socialism plays itself out is very much top down. Property belongs to the government. They are in charge of the means of production so they can live out the ideology. If we look at Jewish law, we see that individual property rights are respected and protected by law. The classic pay your worker on time means that you're allowed to have workers who work for you and you clearly make more money than they do. That construct is respected and protected. But also wealth itself is considered a blessing, not something to be ashamed of. This, once again, gives over a certain mechanism. And this practice and this structure very much mirrors the capitalist system. This isn't a top-down structure. This is a bottom-up structure by individuals through voluntary interactions with the rights to own property and means of production strive and flourish. I think you could say, or place a fairly decent argument.
Can I guess?
Go for it.
That the mechanics of the Torah, the halacha of the Torah, the nitty-gritty day-to-day, is, you know, my ox and your ox is always the typical example, which means I have an ox and you have an ox and we're allowed to have those oxes. So it's quite capitalist in that we all have property and we have the right to protect our property and to make more, etc. But when we zoom out and look at the ideology of it, that's when it gets more socialist leaning, more community-based leaning.
Correct, because it's one of those things that people who attack a left political leaning, they always sort of forget the principle that it's based off very deep ethical principles. It's based off the love for the other. It's based off the want to help the other for those who are underprivileged or those who are struggling. And often what a more right-leaning individual will say is that they have to, you know, pull their socks up. But there's something very dark about having that approach, coming from a position of having, looking at the other who doesn't have and seeing somehow it's their fault. That in some way, shape or form, poverty is just the poor not really pulling their socks up, really not being innovative, and somehow laying the blame or putting the victimhood on the side of the one who's struggling. The Torah takes that away.
It's the opposite. We have to look around for a poor person to give to. They are our responsibility.
Exactly. So in a way, to summarize this idea, the philosophy hopefully plays out how you interact on your day-to-day, meaning the ideology should be the assumption that your day-to-day life is lived out with. It paints it. It changes how you interact with the world. If you look at your property and your wealth as a gift, if you look at it as a gift, which is another way that we look at our stuff, if we look at it as a gift from God, you then play it out differently. You interact with it differently. You look at other people who don't have what you have. It's a unique sort of framing that takes place with a certain socialist ideology, but a more capitalistic mechanism.
Why? If you're saying that its ideologies are more socialist, then shouldn't the halacha play that out?
So on some level it does. What I mean by that is that yes, it has a more capitalist foundation, but it tempers it, meaning you own the field, but there are parts of your field that you have to put aside for the poor. There are aspects of your own property that are regulated.
Yes, but you're saying you have property. If you're saying that the ideas in the Torah, love your fellow as yourself, are more mercy an all-inclusive base, then maybe we shouldn't have property. Maybe only the king should have property. Why do we, yes, have property? Why is it capital-based?
So this is to answer that question, it's obviously post the sort of communist failure and the communist revolution's like dark destruction that they laid in their wake. But there's something very, naive to human nature when you think that a top-down system from a point of view of humanity and individuals is ever going to sort of produce anything other than destruction. Because if you have a top-down system, meaning you have the government being in charge of everything and thereby playing itself down to the community...
You're saying the Torah knew that would lead to corruption? I hear what you're saying, because if you're saying that Hashem wrote the Torah, knowing the people that are going to be keeping the Torah, he knows our limitations. Maybe in a utopia, us all being one global family would be a good idea. And only the king owns anything and everybody's happy that way. But maybe if he knows our characteristics and our limitations, capitalism is the way that to get people to work. Capitalism is the way to give people hope that they can make a better tomorrow, etc.
So the idea of putting your own effort in, because those are the descriptions of why communism failed. But as you said, that utopic vision that communism tried to build was completely disregarding human nature. It's interesting that when the Jewish, I suppose, vision of a utopia, the Messianic era, is top down, but that's with the position of God in the picture.
Right. So in Mashiach's time, when everything changes, when all the rules are going to change, then we can envision a time when fighting over property or working hard to make more physical stuff might become irrelevant. But that's because so many other things are also changing.
That's working with the premise that
of God and miracles and all that.
But from a human standpoint, and that structure coming from above by individuals with individual flaws, that being imposed onto a society with a vision in mind that it needs to force to come into fruition, yeah, things get pretty dark.
I hear. Okay, let me recap. I like this point. From a idealistic standpoint, so idea-based, what you're supposed to be teaching your children, what you're supposed to be talking about, conversations, etc., is mercy-based, community-based. How can I give to the other-based? How can we all make sure that we all have equal opportunities? Those kind of things. Those should be our ideas. Those should be our morals. However, when you then look into halacha, you don't find that. You don't find that we have no properties and all our day is supposed to be looking around for other people to give to. No, we have property rights. We have a much more of a capitalist system in our halacha. How do you reconcile that? By having the mechanics of a capitalist system with the benefits of that, being able to work, being able to have hope that you can create a better tomorrow, etc. And just the different benefits of a capitalist system. However, the Torah realizes that that's because of our natures and the way we are wired. But idealistically, we're supposed to have our heads up into more of a utopian world. We're supposed to have our ideas of how to make the world a better place, despite the fact that we're working in a more of a capitalist system. Is that right?
So, like, lovely. As I said, you could really sort of entrench that in the whole idea of hope, meaning you're supposed to be acting in your life in a way that mirrors the way you want history to play out. And the way we want history to play out is a place where there is no poor, when there are no suffering. Now, we can't achieve that in the here and now, because it's not the world we live in, but we can bring up our children and try and educate ourselves that that's how we should be looking at the poor. How do we actually live our lives on the ground? That's where Jewish law comes in, and Jewish law recognizes individuals and individual property rights.
It's like a tempered capitalism, because remember, we all give 10% of our earnings to charity. If all wealthy people in the world gave 10% of their earnings to charity, we'd have a lot less problems.
If I just add one last point, the idea of, this is a conversation for a different time, is that, yes, we have property. A man had his field in the agricultural world, but there were parts he had to put aside. And there was fields that would go back after 50 years. And
that's a very good analogy.
Meaning there was a certain equalizer that was built into Jewish law.
Your field and then the corner that you had to leave for the poor.
So it's interesting that on some level, there's like almost a overarching principle that the land still belongs to God, even though on the ground we live it out as if it's ours.
Yaival, and I went back to the first.
So that's a longer discussion, but
Well, it also ties into Shavuos and Ruth, who went to one of those poor corners to get her food.
Well, maybe we'll do that next week.
Well, then maybe so. Yeah.
Have a lovely day.